New Zealand-based home renovation company, 6,593% ROAS. Sydney-based solar company, 2,700% ROAS. Hunter region-based bathroom renovation company, 5,616% ROAS. Melbourne-based building company, 13,182% return on ad spend. Adelaide-based solar company, 2,881% return on ad spend. Guys, the list goes on and on. If you're a trade-based business and you work with projects like roofing, solar, bathroom renovations, kitchen renovations, anything like that, head across to tradie.wiki/pod for podcast. tradie.wiki/pod for podcast. Book in a conversation. It is game changing. Hey, it's Matt Jones here. If you want to check out the video version of this podcast, click on the first link in the description.
What happens is some of our clients is they'll bid assuming that they're going to be held accountable. Someone else will bid knowing that once you win the contract, they don't care type thing. And then they'll be able to bid a lower price.
In this podcast, Jason Cooney talks about the tender team's winning strategies for local government contracting.
Are these things that you could negotiate in the terms?
But it's critical from a long-term business perspective because, you know, the first thing we say to someone who's had the contract for the last 3 years is, can you give us references? Can you give us all your reports? And the guys that are good will go, yeah, no worries. And we'll just simply add all those into the tender, the fact that they've always met their KPIs and so forth.
Jason, welcome to the SiteShed podcast.
Cheers, thanks for having me.
Glad to have you, mate. Tuning in from Sydney?
Yep.
Awesome. How's the weather down there?
No worries, although yesterday it was pissing down, but yeah, no, it's fine.
I feel like it's dismal up here. Torrential. Our pool is full of frogs. The kids are loving it. Anyway. Mate, we're here today to talk a little bit about how to win some government contracts. Never covered this topic, yeah, it should be interesting. We do a lot in the space of clients trying to win private contracts, you know, like B2C, but the B2B ones, I think, something that a lot of guys are interested in. So it'd be good to hear some context around this. Just before we jump in, though, do you want to give us a bit of a background as to you, where you're from, and what you guys do?
Yeah, sure. So I've been tender writing for about 12 years. Started in a job, then I started freelancing, so consulting. I've been consulting for about 9 years. Got a consultancy called the Tender Team, and 70% of the time we're writing bids for tradies that are going for local council contracts. They are generally the most popular. And so we do, we write the tender, we work on supporting documentation, work health and safety, quality assurance, that sort of stuff. And now they're asking kind of everything and anything. They want modern slavery and whatever. So pretty much what we do is help tradies write tenders to try and win government contracts.
So is it like a legal facet, what you guys do?
No, not really. The thing is with the tenders, if they release their contract to you, you pretty much, the legal side of it, you pretty much have to accept it because the 10 other plumbers that are bidding for it, they're all going to accept the terms. So usually what happens is you just say to people, check your insurances, because that's a deal breaker, right? You don't want to take on a job where it's $20 million public liability, you've only got 10.
Right.
But as long as you comply with that, you pretty much have to accept whatever the council's terms are. But what we do is, they'll ask for previous experience, they'll ask for CVs, they'll ask for a methodology, they'll ask for executive summary, they'll ask for some supporting docs around safety, quality, environmental docs. So we write all those for tradies. You can do it yourself. Like, they can do it themselves, get their secretaries, or they're busy, whatever, so they get us to write it for them.
They definitely can't do it themselves.
Yeah, no. In the office, does it?
So,
but yeah,
interesting. Yeah. You were saying how, if they get sent the tender, they have to accept it.
If they get sent the contract side of it,
Yeah. So, is that open? Yeah. Are we going to dive into the negotiation side of that tender, or is there no negotiation?
No. Negotiations. Possible. So usually what happens is you'll submit. So let's just say Gold Coast Council, for example, they say we need plumbing maintenance services for the next 3 years. We've had three guys that are on the panel and they've all got a bid to reappoint and we're going to open it up. So maybe another 20 plumbing companies on the Gold Coast will bid for it. Mm-hmm. They might then shortlist that down to three. So you put in your tender, you put in your proposal, you say, you know, this is us, this is what we do, this is our experience, we'll shortlist the three. What they do is they'll call you in and they'll say, okay, we're going to go to best and final offer. So revise your offers, change the pricing, maybe change some of the terms. So you do have a chance to kind of negotiate on pricing, but usually it involves them coming back to you and saying, drop your price a bit.
Right. And is the negotiations always in the space of pricing? I did an interesting episode back at 369 with Kean Brennan, and we were talking actually also on the over your way, but we're talking about the art of contract negotiation, and it wasn't so much the numerical value as much. It was more the like the inclusions within the contract that could potentially make you come unhinged. Things like LDs and, you know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah. It depends on if it's a maintenance long-term contract with the government tender or if it's a job,
okay.
if it's a fixed job. If it's a fixed job, then all of that applies,
okay.
LDs, inclusions and so forth, and also other things that are contracted are who's going to be, like you can have KPIs, the hold points, everything built into the contract on the negotiation side of it, but the private companies are a lot better than doing that than the public.
Okay.
So usually what's happened is if it's a council and it's a and you're tendering, that'll go to a head contractor, which would be a private company, and then the tradie will find themselves bidding to the head contractor. But if it's a three-year maintenance contract or, for example, a contract for concreting or, you know, like council pathways and so forth, yeah, that's all, generally speaking, you get on the panel.
Okay.
And you'll either price per hour or your price per meter or whatever it may be. So the specifics on the specific job aren't really applicable in the tender.
Oh, I understand.
What you want to do is you want to win it, so you get on the council panel, so that every time they've got maintenance work to do, you're one of the three companies that automatically gets a bid for the job, for that specific job, and everyone else misses out, even the chance of bidding.
Yeah, I do kind of know what you mean, actually, because I remember, like, my background in a previous life, which sort of came from plumbing into pipe relining, and a lot of our, you know, well, not so many clients, but certainly colleagues that worked on the government side, they would get when these, like, you know, government or not government, but like council contracts or authority contracts and that kind of stuff, and it was typically based on volume, like a meterage rate, and that's kind of where they made a lot of money, just by putting a lot of meters in, you know.
Yeah, pretty much. So LDs don't really come into those ones, but you negotiate on price, but you also negotiate on KPIs and performance time. So, for example, if you're tendering to like a TAFE college, which is kind of like a government contract, it's pretty much government, like Department of Education, for example.
Yeah.
If you're, you know, they'll say they want like a 60-minute response time on any urgent call-outs from their maintenance personnel. So you can say, okay, we'll agree to that. And as part of the pricing, so when you put in your pricing, you'll be based on like 16 different KPIs that you agree to. And if you don't agree to certain ones, you can go back and negotiate them and adjust your pricing accordingly. So they're pretty smart with the way they approach it from a buying perspective or a procurement perspective, is the fancy word they use for it.
And who holds you accountable to those KPIs? Is it like a point of contact, like a project manager or something?
It is. Usually they've got like a supervisor and project manager that's council or state government. But in terms of accountability, it's good to know the ins and outs, and if you're an incumbent, like you've already got the contract, you kind of know what's going on and how strict they are, because what happens to some of our clients is they'll bid assuming that they're going to be held accountable. Someone else will bid knowing that once you win the contract, they don't care type thing, and then they'll be able to bid a lower price. So that's where it's kind of under the radar and based on who you know. And if you've happened to hire some, you know, apprentice who used to be working at the other firm, they'll usually tell you they never checked. But to give you an example with the Northern Territory government, they've got hold points where the supervisors will go out, sign off. They do it all really well.
Mm-hmm.
So you are held accountable, and then you usually get 3 monthly reporting against you. So like they'll report and go, okay, you're going really well. You're like a 4 out of 5, whatever it may be. And then they'll do that 3 monthly. But it's critical from like a long-term business perspective, because, you know, the first thing we say to someone who's had the contract for the last 3 years is, can you give us references? Can you give us all your reports? And the guys that are good will go, yeah, no worries. And we'll just simply add all those into the tender, the fact that they've always met their KPIs and so forth. So you want to kind of at least adhere to your KPIs and do it all properly, because then you'll keep winning the contract. Most of the time, 6 months out, someone will call us and be like, oh, I've got this tender coming up. You know, I heard a rumor that it's going to be out in 3 months. And then they'll start doing everything properly in the last 6 months to try and put themselves in a good position.
Yeah, I see.
Yeah. So they kind of play the game a bit, but yeah.
And is that enough, or is it, does it go back further than that?
No, it's kind of enough. I think that as long as you dress it up, the best way to do it is to dress it up. Mm-hmm. Like, obviously, you're not going to show the last 2.5 years if your last 6 months are the strongest.
Sure.
But what usually happens is council or the state government will put together a procurement panel, right? So there'll be like three people deciding on this. They usually got one person from the office that doesn't know anything about the job. Like, they don't know anything technical about plumbing, concreting, electrical, whatever it may be.
Yeah.
They've got another person that knows what they're doing, and then they'll have one of the supervisors come on the panel. And those are the guys that'll be like, I want Tim. Tim's good. Like, end the story. Or, you know, get Race Plumbing or whatever it is to come on.
Okay.
So you've still got to be good the whole time from a reputation perspective so that you can kind of get the work in.
So does it become a bit of a boys' club in the space of who gets the tenders, you know, who gets accepted? Like, yeah, I mean, they have to go to tender. Is that right, first of all? Like, it's got to go out to tender.
They have to, over $100,000, they have to go to tender.
But is it typically the same, like, companies that will get rewarded, the like, winning those contracts?
Kind of. What happens is, I would say these days, like, as opposed to, say, 20 years ago, these days it's, I think, 20% contacts, because obviously if you're an incumbent, you've got some friends in there, so it helps if you're good for them to talk about you. And 80% is the quality of your tender and the quality of your experience and the quality of your personnel and really doing a good job of the tender. Because what happens is, well, this is what's happened. Like, I've seen this happen. I've had a client who just couldn't be bothered because he thought he was guaranteed to win it. Best mates with all the superintendents, all the rest of it, botched the tender and was getting phone calls, you know, on the side from them saying, like, we'd love to, like, you know, you're in, but you're not because you stuffed it up. You didn't do this right. Just get someone to do it for you. I'll do it properly. So usually it is a bit of a boys club, you know, in the background.
Yeah.
But what will happen, they'll tell you, listen, mate, you know, we know you're great. I've got no control. Procurement manages it. So don't stuff up the tender type thing.
So,
a bit of both.
So what exactly, why don't we go back a little bit and just talk about what actual tender is? Because, like, hey, like, what is it? What does that involve? What is it based on? Like, what are the ground zero? What are the roots of it?
It is if you're, let's just say, for example, you want to rewire your house and you go get three quotes. That's, you say, I'm going to get three blokes to give me a quote. That's, on a much larger scale, that's all the government's doing. But they're saying, okay, we've got 20 government buildings and we need someone to come and change all the light bulbs whenever they break. So instead of getting free quotes, we're going to write the specification saying, okay, we need someone to come when we call them to fix the light bulb, to leave it clean and do that. And we're going to release that to anyone and anyone who wants to bid for it. Every electrician in New South Wales can have a crack.
Mm-hmm.
Then those electricians will all write a document saying, you know, we've got a team of 6 Sparkies. We're really good because we always change light bulbs. It's our specialty. We've done it for the university. We've done it for local schools, whatever. Here's our pricing, and this is why you should choose us. And that, when they write that out into a document, that's essentially a tender. It's like a quote, but a much more fancy version of a quote.
So the tender is designed to speak to the individual specifications within the document. So they'll answer each kind of section of it. Is that the idea?
That's the idea. Yeah, okay. Most definitely. And each section of the document, it usually starts off saying, provide an executive summary of 2 pages telling us how good you are and why you're best for this. Provide CVs of all your boys or your personnel. So we want to know not only that you've got, like, 8 Sparkies, we want to know you've got, you know, someone in the office doing the reporting, someone doing your invoicing, what software program do you use to take pictures after you've completed a job so you know we've done it properly? How does all that work? We want to know 3 references and 3 different examples of other jobs that you've done similar to what we're asking for. We want to know that you've got all your safety documents, so send them all through. We want all your quality, all your environmental documents. And the big one now is, if our job's in, for example, Penrith, we want to know what you're going to do for the Penrith area. So we want to know that you're going to buy all your materials off a local Penrith firm, that you're going to get, you support the local footy club, you've got local Penrith apprentices, that you're a Penrith boy born and bred, and all the money that we pay you for this contract is going to be recirculated into our economy. So that's usually, and also the final one would be equipment. tell us what equipment you've got. So, like, we do a lot of mowing tenders, and they're big contracts, like Brisbane City Council's enormous mowing. And, you know, like, we have to run through and write, okay, we've got the Toro sit-on, ride-on mower, and that's got low emissions, so it's better for the environment and all the rest of it. So they want to know all your equipment to make sure you can do the job. If it's a specific job, so if it's like, okay, rewire three buildings, give us a fixed price, LDs, all the rest of it, they'll want to know a methodology and a program so that you say, okay, we've got five personnel, we're going to come in, these are going to be the days. If it's the school, we're going to do it in school holidays, we're going to make sure there's no noise and all the rest of it.
Right.
They're the sort of 10 components of a tender. And it's like a fancy version of a quote where you have to write a lot more fluffy stuff to make it convincing. Yeah.
So just on a slight segue and pull me back in line after this, but I recently did a podcast with a mate of mine, Clinton, from TradiePad, and we were talking about technology and things like that. And that was one thing that we were sort of, like I said, oh, what's sort of, you know, the crystal ball look like for the tech space? Because we were talking about, you know, integrations, and there's so many different tools and things available.
Yeah.
Do councils typically, or anyway, whoever's putting the tender out, do they normally have a preference on a way that you would submit things like photos or, you know, safe work method statements or compliance certifications or whatever it might be? Like, is there a, do they have their own platforms that you need to become part of?
Sometimes they do.
Yeah.
And when they do, it's easy.
Yeah,
because
sure.
All they say is confirm that you're going to use their platform. No worries. You're going to say yes straight away, whatever. Yeah. That's about 30% of the time. 70% of the time, they'll say, tell us about your reporting, and they'll leave it open. And okay. You've got to be smart enough. So if we had a client who didn't have any IT systems, no iPads, nothing, we would tell them, listen, just go get a demo so that we can tell them you've got it at least, and then we'll, you know, make up images and all the rest of it. So 70% of the time, you have to go to them and say, this is how we're going to report and this is how we're going to manage it. And when that's the case, you usually, you know, whatever, there are lots of different software packages out there, but they want to see that at the end of every, you know, task or project, you'll take a photo for completion. You'll take a photo at any hold points, you know, throughout the project. They'll get an automatic email that it's happened. They'll know who worked on it, what time, date, and all the rest of it, and it's all organized. And if you're a small tradie, then you know that the bigger guys are going to do it, end of story, so you've got to do that. Like, you've got to be at that level or else they won't select you.
Yeah, I think it's like a lot of guys out there are, you know, with they're sort of more and more embracing the technology. And if nothing else, even on the residential side, they're doing a lot of that. They're doing a lot of that already for compliance. It's, you know, just to...
Yeah.
You know, if there's like a scratch on a water heater or something that was there before, or wall cladding or something, you know, like just take a photo of it to prove that it wasn't you that did it, yeah. Like that kind of stuff. So
yeah.
I think a lot of the guys are sort of getting into that cadence already with these, you know, modern technologies, which is great.
Yeah, it's really good. And I think they'll, if they're doing that and it's kind of easy to do, then they'll easily be able to work a council tender or a state government. Bit more paperwork, but pretty much the same concept.
So what are the... like in the space of, are they interested in like showcasing work that you've done to see if it relates to what they need? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. There'll be, in, you know, in every tender, there's an experience section and they'll ask for references as well.
Okay.
And so what they'll say, and you know, bear in mind, they look for experience with contracts. So what we tell people is, because you're going to find traders that, mate, I've never run a tender before, I'm going for my first tender. So if that's the case, then obviously when the council asks for three previous councils you've serviced, you're kind of stuck because you don't have any experience. So what you do is if you work for a strata company that's got, you know, you just do all their work and say you get 30 different houses or unit blocks or whatever it may be, then you put them down as a case study.
Okay.
And you say, okay, strata company XXX, servicing 30 buildings, you know, report times, whatever you may do. Here's an image of some of the works you've done or whatever it may be to showcase. But what's important is that you need to link the similarity between the work that you do for that strata company or even a previous council, another council, for example, with the contract you're going for. So you've got to say, okay, this contract needs us to look after 70 different Department of Housing homes for all the maintenance, electrical, plumbing, whatever it may be, aircon. And we've done that because, you know, for our other client, he's got 60 homes and it's a similar volume and it's a similar area. And we've had to have 6 boys on the road, all with utes and so forth. So you've got to really align the fact that your
make it relatable.
Similar. Yeah. If you just put, oh, I did this house and I did a big unit block and it's not interlinked, then they can't score you that well because they essentially score your experience against the specifications that they've got for this job.
Oh, I see. So you really have to customize it according to whatever that specific tender looks like.
Yeah, and you can fluff it a bit, of course, like within reason.
Of course
you can. So you've got to kind of stretch the truth a little bit and say, okay,
You can tell a story a thousand different ways, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, and you've really got it. And the other thing is, if you're talking about your experience, what like most people forget to do is it's not just because you'll automatically think, oh, we did this job, these are the specs and all the rest of it. But you've got to talk about safety, environment as well.
Okay.
In your experience showcasing. So you've got to say, well, there were no safety issues. You've got to say, oh, we were working in a hospital and we needed to minimize dust and so forth. So this is what we did. So you've got to run through that. And from an environmental perspective as well, you can mention things. So even though they're asking about experience, you know, if you're a concreter, the first thing you do is you say, you know, it was this many square meters, we laid it, blah, blah, blah. They want everything else.
Sure.
And, you know, they want to know, yeah, reporting, the lot. So you've got to really provide a full case study, not just a, you know, one or two points.
Yeah, I guess like the being able to concrete is kind of the expected part, right? But then all the stuff that surrounds it, that whole ecosystem, which encompasses like what they're looking for is some probably, you know, where they that would get lost in the peripheral.
Yeah, it's kind of, and you think it's irrelevant when you're writing it. Like, you're like, I'm not going to bother writing about that. They won't care. But you just got to write it anyway because they mark it.
Yeah, sure. Interesting. So where do you think is a good, like, place to, like, what's the process, like, as a starting point for the listeners and viewers out there that want to actually even be on the list or the Rolodex to be sent these tenders? Like, how does that happen?
So to do that, you know, what you... depending on where they are, but let's just say we'll use Sydney, like New South Wales as an example. They've got to sign up with their local council for tender notifications.
Okay.
And generally speaking, sign up with the five local councils around your area. So, you know, you don't want to be in Sydney and start going for tenders in Yirrabadella Shire Council on the South Coast, for example, because you're not going to win. Unless you're like a horticulture company or something, you're not going to win it. So what you do is you'll sign up for your local councils. If you type in your local council and tenders, there'll be a notification where you can like find them, say, okay, sign up for future tenders, and then you'll get alerts. So typically you'll sign and say, okay, we do electrical or plumbing, whatever it may be, and then you'll get alerts when a tender comes out. You'll also sign up with your local state government. So if you type in New South Wales or Queensland or Northern Territory tenders, if you just Google it, it'll come up straight away. And then you'll sign up with them as well.
So at that point in the process, it's relatively unbiased. Like those notifications go to anyone that's on that, that's on that list.
Yeah. And we've not like, you can win tenders. Like it's definitely unbiased. They'll go to everybody. And the key point there is like, let's say you're a trader, you've got five boys working for you, one person in the office, six in total or something like that. You can't be going for any and every tender. Like you can't be getting excited going, oh, look at this tender, we're going to win it, when you don't really have a chance. So when you get those notifications, you've got to kind of weed through them and go for something that's achievable and within your experience base. Or else you'll keep going for them, you'll lose a couple, you'll get depressed and you'll never do it again type thing.
And is that kind of the game though? Like is it sort of a long play? Like if you're applying or submitting a tender for the first time or responding to a tender for the first time, I'm guessing there's a level of expectation there that you should be realistic about the fact that you're probably not going to get the first couple. It's like an experience, right?
I agree, probably. I think as well it depends on which tender you're going for. So let's just say carpenter who needs to re-roof a council toilet block.
As a project.
You've got a chance. As a project. It's a fixed project. It's $60,000 worth of works or whatever. And it's your first job. I think if you look at it, it's in your local area. You've got a realistic chance of being successful. It's not like you're going to miss out. You've got a decent chance. But if you're just constantly going for cracker contracts, you could be going not only the first two or three, you could go in the first 10 and not win any.
Sure.
Because you're way above your league in terms of experience. So it is good to be realistic. I think the first tender that you do is a good learning experience anyway.
Sure.
Because there's so much work involved. Even if you get us to do it, we're asking you for documents, safety, this is updated, give us photos of all your personnel CVs. You finish the whole thing, you've got like this whole proposal about your company. Mm-hmm. So it's a learning experience in itself, but you've really got to be selective about what you go for, or else you'll keep losing, you can keep losing continuously for years if you don't pick them right.
How easy is it for you guys to collate that information from your clients?
It's good. Usually, it's probably one of the most challenging aspects of our role, but we find the best way is to just get them on the phone.
Yeah.
Like we could be waiting for 3 days for someone to get documentation back to us and whatever. And they just couldn't be like, tradies don't like writing sometimes. Like they don't like the paperwork side of the role.
Mm.
But a lot of the time, once we get someone on the phone, they're a wealth of information and we just keep them on. We can be on the phone for 2.5 hours. You're talking, we're typing. And you'll start telling us things that you didn't even know yourself. Like, oh yeah, by the way, I donated. I had a client tell me, I wrote to him. I said, listen, I need to talk about what you've done for the community. And he wrote back, I've done nothing for the community. Like, I've got nothing to answer for that question. And then I was chatting to him. He's like, oh, yeah, I gave $5,000 at the children's hospital that time, like last year. I don't know what they wanted. I just gave it to him. I'm like, mate, you should have told me that because I'm going to put that as like the main selling point in your bid. So over the phone is usually the best is the best way of getting information out. And for all the annoying things, we usually speak to someone in the office or whatever, people's wives, if they're running the business.
Chasing
the
documents.
Yeah, yeah. We'll chase all that down, insurances and all the rest of it.
Yeah, sure. And so do your clients and the companies that you guys work with, do they typically go from tenders to tender? Like, is that their gig? They just work with council contracts or government contracts, or do they typically sort of have a department of their business which does do that and the rest of it might do resi or commercial or whatever? Like, is it self-sustaining?
We've got some civil contractors that do all the civil work for Sydney and all the rest of them. They're definitely self-sustaining. I would say that once you're on, if I took like my standard client, they might be on two government panels. I'll give you an example. Horticulture, tree culling and all the rest of it for Brisbane City. He's got the Brisbane City Council contract, got about 30 guys working for him. He still takes call outs. Someone calls him and says, I've got a tree, needs cutting. He'll go out and do the job. It's probably about 25%. It'll be 75% tender related work, 25% resi. And it kind of oscillates between there. I've got others who they'll win a contract. I'll give you the worst case scenario. Some traders win a contract because they underquoted it. Realize there's a whole lot of reporting with council, it annoys them. They go, stuff, I'm just doing resi now, I'm not doing another tender again type thing. So it kind of depends, but yeah, it is self-sustaining. Once you get into it and you start winning contracts, it works for business, so it's good for them. And also you can predict how much you're going to make because, it's usually a three-year panel contract. So you've got 3 plus 1 plus 1, so 3 years, and they've got 2 one-year extensions that are optional.
Oh, right.
So when that's the case, you're thinking, oh, I'm pretty much solid, guaranteed to make money for the next 3 years. So
okay,
it's good.
And how does the payment side of it work? Like, is it done on like per job, or is it like periodical? Is it like a retainer, or how does it look?
No, it depends, but it's usually per job, per okay. like micro job.
Because if you had like the block, if you had the drain contract, right, for whatever Randwick Council or whatever or City, would that be per job basis, go out, clear this drain?
Yeah, it'd be per job.
Okay.
And you would have already, given like a schedule of rates. So depending on the rates, it'll be whatever it is, or you would have given an hourly rate, for example, for call outs and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then so you're pretty much getting paid per job and you're invoicing like per job, like a $500 or an $800 invoice here.
Okay.
But you're not tendering per job. It's not like you have to go through the whole process again.
Right.
They just say, we'll send it to Tim, we'll send it to John. So you're kind of locked in.
Okay.
And payment-wise is something actually to be concerned about because some of them have, like 30-day payments and it's just too bad you're getting paid in 30 days. That's
Are these things that you could negotiate in the terms?
No. You could, but we advise people not to because we say, look, you're pretty much – it's not like you're not going to get paid for starters because it's government. And the second, so it's not like the issue that you've got, in resi or even commercial, they've got issues, but you don't have any government. And the second is that it'll annoy the reader, it'll annoy the procurement team.
Okay.
Because don't forget, every other one bidding for it is saying, yeah, we'll accept your 30 days. So if you sit there saying, I want 15, they're just going to go, no.
Well, truthfully, 30 days is probably nowhere near as bad as what a lot of these guys are used to coming from commercial, where it could be 60 days or 90 days from the date of issue. Like it's
and you're stressing over it for 90 days as well.
Oh, yeah, it's like, oh yeah, sure, we'll just bankroll your building company, no problem.
So no, it's not like that with with government. As long as it's direct to government. So you know, like everyone's got to be careful, because if you're bidding and you're bidding to like a tier one building contractor who's got the government, you're not protected. That's not a I wouldn't call that a government. So then you're at their mercy. Don't think there's any nothing. But if you're bidding for like Randwick Council or even New South Wales State Government for the hospitals or some program along those lines, maybe they're upgrading their HVAC or something like that, then you're sweet. It's a capital contract or it's a government contract. So, you know, you're pretty safe.
Yeah, good to know. So essentially, like, if we were to recap on the, you know, what you guys, if you're watching this or listening to this, what you can do if you want to dive into this world, essentially reach out to your local authority and get on their tender list. That's the first part. And then once they you receive the tenders, just don't take everything, like filter through the ones that are going to suit you and be picky and choosy. I guess they come in thick and heavy. I guess there's a lot of them.
They're pretty often.
Depending on the vertical, I suppose. And then when you do get it, make sure that you, if you're not going to engage someone like you, Jason, to do it, make sure that you are ticking all the boxes and you're considering the ecosystem that surrounds what they're asking, which may not be obvious.
Yeah, most definitely. So, I mean, and also I would say make sure you used to allocate the time to do a good job of it.
Yeah.
That's important. And the big point is to make sure you write the tender for that specific tender. So let's just say, for example, you know, you get all excited, you go, sweet, I've got this tender in front of me. It's for maintenance services. You cut and paste, you go onto your website and you cut and paste all your CVs or all your boys and you put them in the tender. The thing is that you might be talking about how someone's got experience in wherever it may be, and it might not be specifically related to the tender, to the scope of the tender. So, you know, new installation on home builds, plumbing and drainage is different to main changing washers. Like complete two maintenance drainage, maintenance plumbing, it's two different things. Mm. So you've got to say, okay, you can't just cut and paste it in and say, oh, he worked for 5 years for Masterton Homes installing new builds, because whoever's reading it's going to be like, well, that's not relevant to what we want. So you've got to say, this guy, doesn't matter what he did, this guy is a maintenance drainage plumbing specialist. Mm-hmm. He's got years of experience. He understands all the different issues that arise, blah, 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 blah. So that's what you've got to do. And throughout your bid, you've got to tailor everything for that opportunity. So if you've got, you know, they're going to ask for experience and you're going to say, and there's no point in talking about residential homes if you're talking about a multi-story building, whatever it is. So you've got to change for that and so forth. So take your time to write the tender, do it properly, and provide a comprehensive answer to each question, because they've got what's called a weighting criteria, right? So what might happen is, you know, they'll say, okay, 20% of the total marks is going to go to experience, 30% is going to go to your CVs and whatever else, 20% or 40% is going to be price, and 10% is going to be safety documents. So you think, okay, I'll go in and I'll go, yep, low price and I'll win it, but you lose on all the other points. So you've got to do a good job of every different part. You've got to do a good job of the experience. You've got to do a good job of the CVs. You've got to do a good job of safety. If you stuff one part up, you end up losing marks and losing the tender. So don't get lazy in certain areas is the other big point, I'd say.
Is there a follow-up process or is it on, is it on them?
We recommend everyone to ask for. So what happens is, let's just say you submit your bid and then you're waiting 6 weeks later, you get a letter saying you've lost, right? If they're, you know, 90% of councils or state government, federal government's perfect. They'll nearly always do it. Will, if you call them and say, okay, well, we want a debrief, they call it a debrief. That's basically, why did we lose? So if you call them and say, okay, we want a debrief, then usually they'll agree to it. And that's where you find out all your information. If I would say, personally from experience, if they say, it can be like a person-to-person meeting, or you can do it on Zoom, or you can give them a call or whatever it may be. If they say it's price, then it's their kind of way to wiggle around the fact that they don't really want to tell you why you lost your bid. But two out of every three would have done a good job, and they'll say, well, you scored 7 out of 10 in this area, 8 out of 10 in this, your pricing was a bit high, and you didn't go into enough detail or into your methodology. So that's why you came 4th out of 20, for example.
Gotcha.
And you walk away from that. If you find someone good, like it's hit and miss, you know, it's probably 50% of the time you'll find someone good and you'll pretty much get complete feedback on why you lost. And if you got someone like us to write your tender, you know, be well within your rights to say, hey, what happened? Like they told me this part was wrong, this part was right, but you stuffed up this, what's going on? And we'd probably say, oh, well, that part's wrong. Sorry, this part, you didn't give us any information, so you stuffed us up, so we have to make up stuff. And obviously they saw that we were fluffing it, or whatever it might be. So they do give you, you know, you make sure you ask for a debrief. And, you know, if you get someone good, you'll find out. You'll pretty much get an analysis of how you are performing against all your competitors and where you're weak on.
Yeah, sure. And so that must be a huge amount of work for the people at the other end, responding to all those tenders.
It's no fun. And also because it's government, they have to, like, there's a rule saying they have to read it all properly.
Right.
They can't budge it. So they go through everything properly and they mark it and they give you a weighted criteria and they get other people to peer review and all the rest of it. Because the first thing someone says is, oh, you just gave the tender to your mate. So even if they are going to give the tender old boys club style, they have to do it all so properly to justify giving it to their friend and find some reason to and so forth. Or else your stuff. So you do have a half decent chance. And I have seen people lose tenders, like, just because they couldn't be bothered doing the tender properly. It happened on a really big one. And it's just the way it is.
Awesome. Hey, this has been very informative. I'm surprised I haven't really covered this topic after so many episodes, but I'm glad I did because I definitely learned something. Jason, cool. where can the listeners and viewers get hold of you if they need to?
Well, our website's thetenderteam.com.au. They can give me a call on my mobile or our emails, just info@thetenderteam.com.au. We had the info email address I had 8 years ago when we first started, so I've never changed it to Jason@thetenderteam.
Oh, perfect.
So it's just info@thetenderteam.com.au. Just call my mobile.
I'll have some. Don't give your mobile out, but I'll have some.
No, I didn't say it. Yeah.
I'll have some links in the show notes for you guys out there if you want to go and get hold of Jason. It's thetenderteam.com.au. It's info@ the email. But yeah, there'll be links in the show notes. So, mate, thanks very much. It was a great episode. Really, cool. Really enjoyed that. So,
thanks for having me.
Mate, all the best. And if you listeners and viewers out there, if you've got any specific questions that you want answered, or if we didn't cover off on anything that you think we should have, let us know. I'm sure Jason will be happy to come back on the show and get them answered.
No worries.
Otherwise, that is a wrap. New Zealand-based home renovation company, 6,593% ROAS. Sydney-based solar company, 2,700% ROAS. Hunter region-based bathroom renovation company, 5,616% ROAS. Melbourne-based building company, 13,182% return on ad spend. Adelaide-based solar company, 2,881% return on ad spend. Guys, the list goes on and on. If you're a trade-based business and you work with projects like roofing, solar, bathroom renovations, kitchen renovations, anything like that, head across to tradie.wiki/pod for podcast. tradie.wiki/pod for podcast. Book in a conversation. It is game changing. Thanks for tuning in, guys. I hope you enjoyed that podcast. Please, if you did, head across to iTunes and leave us a review. We would very much appreciate that. Anyway, if you are a project-based trade business and you work in solar or bathroom renovations or kitchen renovations or roofing or something along those lines, and you would like to see some of the results that we've been showcasing in our marketing on for your business, thousands of percent return on ad spend, 2,000, 3,000, 5,000, 7,000, 13,000% return on ad spend, please head across to tradie.wiki/pod for podcast. That's tradie.wiki/pod for podcast. It will be well worth the conversation, and I can't wait to chat with you. Ciao.